DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiries.ie
on News Talk.
Donald Trump is at a very interesting inflection point in his criminal trial because he has spent the last week dealing with Stormy Daniels getting into evidence all of the details of their sexual tryst, which was an interesting defense strategy because he denied that the tryst occurred, which of course then meant that the defense was able to call, the prosecution was able to call Stormy Daniels, whereas if he had acquiesced to its existence, they wouldn't have been able to put her onto the stand. So after a week of Stormy Daniels going through the prurient details of their interaction together, he is now facing into Michael Cohen, the man who actually passed over the check to hush the entire thing up and who has acted as his nemesis for the last number of months, if not years, after the acrimonious falling out. And a lot of what happens in his criminal trial will hinge on the evidence given by Michael Cohen. Meanwhile, we discover that one of the other presidential candidates for this year's election has announced that he has had a parasitic worm eat part of his brain and then die inside his head. Not making this up, that's a real thing. We will come to that in a minute. We're joined by Paul Brandis, who is White House Bureau Chief for West Wing Reports. Paul, politics in America has gone very odd.
Boy, that's really an understatement, I think, Anton. Boy, the things that you mentioned, I mean, we're talking about the first criminal trial ever of an American president, and Kennedy's in the news, maybe one of the most legendary political families of all time, of course, and the story about RFK Jr., of course, the cousin of the late president, the son of the late senator, announcing a parasitical worm in his brain. I mean, it's just, like you say, you can't make this stuff up. It's just unbelievable. In this Trump trial, we're about 4 weeks done, maybe 2 or 3 weeks to go, people say, but the fireworks just keep on coming. I mean, Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen takes the stand tomorrow. I mean, it's just unbelievable what we're going through here.
Let's look back at the Stormy Daniels evidence, because as I was saying, it was a slightly odd tactic, because the defense's denial that the sexual interaction ever occurred meant that the prosecution was able to call Stormy Daniels to actually have her describe it into evidence. It must have been one of the most humiliating experiences for any defendant, never mind a former president, to have to sit in silence while all of that was laid out in front of him, to coin a phrase.
He has this tactic, people in the courtroom have noticed, of closing his eyes when testimony that is uncomfortable is being discussed. A couple of times he may have actually fallen asleep. People say that there have been a couple of times when his jaw has dropped and he hasn't snored or anything, but it looks like you can tell when someone's asleep. It looks like he's falling asleep a couple of times, but he closes his eyes as if that will shut off this unwelcome testimony. But, you know, the main question about Stormy Daniels here is, if the affair never occurred, well, then what's with the $130,000 payment? Was it just, I mean, there's no explanation for that. Why did they give her all this money if there was no affair, if they simply met and were friends and there are photographs of them together from 2006, why give her all that money and why go through all these machinations, which we'll hear about from Cohen, about covering up, falsifying business records to cover up the payment? If there's no affair, then why did all of that occur? There's been no answer from Trump or to that at all. He simply says again, well, it never happened. Well, it just doesn't, I don't think it holds up. I mean, why all the money? He's not been able to answer that.
Now, as far as the supposition goes, that when the defense is called upon to explain the payment of money, what they are likely to rely on is that the money was to quieten Stormy Daniels to prevent familial embarrassment. In other words, that he didn't want his wife to discover that he was either had been in a sexual intercourse with Stormy Daniels, or that she was accusing him of that, depending on which side of the story you actually believe. And it hinges to some extent on whether or not a jury can be convinced of that, or convinced that it was the American people that he was trying to hide that from. That's the critical thing, isn't it?
Well, I think so. But, it's obviously too late for that. But, you know, the problem with the Daniels case is that it came out, of course, remember the famous Access Hollywood tape where Trump was heard on tape bragging about, well, if you're a star, you can grab women and do whatever you want. I mean, he was really afraid of that. And there are all kinds of meetings about how to, cover it up. And their entire strategy with all this stuff has always come down to three things: deny, deny, deny. And that has never worked. I mean, the tape came out, the American people decided for themselves that it was damaging, but it was nevertheless kind of a private matter, not enough to derail a presidential campaign. But they were worried, I think, even more about the Stormy Daniels thing, perhaps because of, as you say, the family, the family angle. This affair allegedly occurred just months after Melania gave birth to Bear, and the Trump's final child, just 3 or 4 months afterward. Talk about damaging. They were, I think, even more afraid of that than anything else. And I think that explains the payment and all that.
You mentioned the deny, deny, deny. That, of course, being the strategy that Trump had long subscribed to, thanks to having learned at the foot of Roy Cohn, the former McCarthy lawyer. Now, that all worked hugely well for him in terms of his own base through all of the electioneering. Does it work the same way with a jury?
Well, I suppose we'll find out. I mean, this jury, when you look at kind of we don't know their names, but kind of the sketches of who they are and where they get their news, it turns out that 7 of the 12 principal jurors read the New York Times on a regular basis. If that's the case, then they've certainly seen all of this stuff for many years now. So the effect of all of that on them when they reach a verdict in a couple of weeks, we'll have to wait and find out. But at this point, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not sitting in the jury box. But just looking at this and reading about this every day, you can't think that this is going well for Trump. I mean, just it's so embarrassing. The evidence is just, to me at least, appears overwhelming. I mean, Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen is, I'll tell you a quick story about Michael Cohen. You know, he's described himself in the past as Trump's designated thug. And in 2018, 2019, I actually asked President Trump, when Trump was bashing Cohen for turning on him, I said, Mr. President, if Michael Cohen is such a bad guy, why did you hire him? Why did you have him on your payroll for 12 years? Why did you have him do so much of your dirty work? I asked that. That's directly the question that I asked the president. And he simply answered, well, he did me a favor a long time ago, and he would not elaborate beyond that. So he didn't deny that, Cohen was a fixer. He didn't deny that he did a lot of his, dirty work, that kind of thing. So I'd love to see a question like that asked when Cohen is on the stand, and I have a feeling they probably will.
If it does come out, I mean, obviously there is the technical possibility of jail, but most of the speculation would suggest that it is going to be a fine or probation. Yeah. If that is what occurs, does that matter? Because what Trump has proved is that everything that previously would have utterly scuppered a political career has slid off him like Teflon.
Well, we're really in uncharted waters here. And the Teflon comment is certainly accurate. I mean, none of this stuff has gotten to him before. As I mentioned, the American people decided in 2016, Anton, that the Access Hollywood tape was, not big of a deal. It's just locker room talk. And they kind of, disregarded that. But in 2020, after the end of 4 years of Trump, he lost the popular vote by 7 million votes. Of course, that's not the way we elect presidents. We elect them on a state-by-state basis with the Electoral College and all of that. And if you look at the numbers now, it really looks to be just an extraordinarily tight race. It looks like Trump is ahead by a little bit in all of the swing states that are going to make a difference. On the other hand, there's polling that shows that Biden is slightly ahead on a national basis. But if you look at the swing states, which I think is a critical way to look at these American elections, it looks like people are not really going to make that big of a deal about all the stuff surrounding Trump. A conviction, however, I think will certainly change some minds, but will it change enough minds to really move the needle in these swing states? The evidence now is that it will not. There are just a lot of people, a lot of Trump supporters who think that this is all just a bunch of malarkey. They call it sort of a Democratic witch hunt. They think the judge in New York is corrupt and on and on and on. It's almost sort of a cult-like behavior where they simply believe anything that Trump tells them. It's just unbelievable. So again, we're in uncharted waters, but a conviction, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But the data now suggests that it's not going to have a kind of an earth-changing effect in terms of helping President Biden.
Now, when we get to those kind of tight margins in the Electoral College, there is precedent for third-party candidates being significant. Ross Perot in the Clinton election, the same thing to some extent with Ralph Nader in the Bush-Gore election. We have a third-party candidate, which is Robert Kennedy Jr., RFK's son. He has this week said that he had a parasitic brain worm that ate part of his brain and that died inside his cranium. And when asked if this had an impact on him, said he could have five more brain worms and he'd still beat the other two in a debate. He's evidently laughable, but is he going to be impactful?
Well, the history of third-party candidates is interesting. I mean, you mentioned Ross Perot, and Ross Perot actually got 19% of the popular vote in 1992. And I think the analysis is that it hurt the incumbent, George, the first Bush, and helped Bill Clinton. I think in the year 2000, I think Ralph Nader certainly prevented Al Gore from winning the state of Florida, which would have made Al Gore president. So there's a lot of evidence that shows it can hurt one side or the other in rather dramatic fashion. In this case, however, you can make an argument that RFK, I mean, he's clearly not going to be president, but there's certainly enough evidence to suggest that he could take away, I think both sides have reason to be worried. He can hurt Biden for certain reasons, but he could hurt actually Trump in certain ways too. The thing that could hurt Biden in terms of Kennedy is that, you know, RFK, he spews all these, you know, conspiracy theories about the pandemic and about COVID and vaccines, and that plays well with the Trump camp. So, but then there are things that could hurt Trump as well. So we'll see. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not going to get anywhere near the support that Ralph Nader got in 2000, or that certainly not that Perot got in 1992, but he could make a difference maybe in some of these swing states. But and the thing about, you know, the parasitical worm and his, what kind of a candidate divulges that kind of thing? That's the kind of thing that a candidate wouldn't you want to keep that quiet? I mean, why would you say that?
I have to say, I don't know about you, Paul, but even setting aside my candidacy, just personally, it's not information I would be sharing widely.
Yeah, exactly. Who would want to,
I tell you what, it's a great time to be in your job, Paul. Hopefully we will be calling on your services again as this continues. Paul Brandes, White House Bureau Chief for West Wing Reports.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kyries.ie
on News Talk.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.